Welcome on, and thank you for listening to the Beer Fridge Podcast. On this show today, we're going to go through beers of the week, the best beer troll, how to get yourself a free beer this weekend, and a review of the Campalicious Beer Festival in St. Andrews. The Beer Fridge Podcast is brought to you by the Beer Fridge Network, beerfridgenetwork.com, for everything beer fridge related, and in partnership with Beer Me Now, beermenow.co.uk. Ultimate subscription service. Have a monthly, bi-monthly or a quarterly beer subscription in the comments at the checkout. Tell them you like what you don't like. The guys will handpick a selection of 8 beers for you and a snackaroo for you to enjoy. And like we said in the last podcast, they now have their very own gluten-free range. Gluten-free beers, 8 of them from some of their favourite UK breweries, and a gluten-free snackaroo. And then also, and like we said last week, also you will receive, hopefully, some beer fridge stickers in there for you to stick. With all the niceties out of the way, let's get it underway! Okay, episode 52 of the Beer Fridge Podcast, Gavin Baxter, Mark Dixon, Scott McMillan. Didn't really mean that to rhyme, not gonna lie. Just
lies. Lies.
Good evening. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
It seems to be a very non-beer podcast this evening, because it's only me. I'm not even drinking it. I'm just anything fancy. I've got 2 cans of Foster's left, so yes. Mm. That's all I'm on tonight.
I'm beer. Don't know about you. I'm beered out after the weekend's festivities. Put a bit of a downer on beer, I must admit, but we'll get into that in a wee bit.
Agreed. I was sort of, in a way, I'm sort of saving my beer extravaganza I'm going to put it for a week's time or so when we get a wee bit messy for a week and a bit's time for Mr. G's Staggeroo, but yeah. The beer of the weekend was
variable.
Shall we variable, that's a good way to put it, yeah, for sure.
And quality, quantity. And
we may as well get fired right in, because there's a definite grievance here with, I mentioned we're going to review and talk about the, is it Campalicious or Compalicious, whatever it's called?
Campalicious. So
Campalicious.
Yeah, so it's at the Campbell Estate house in St Andrews, or just outside St Andrews, King's Barnes. They were going because, well, that's my wedding venue, so it was a good excuse to kind of have a look around and drink tons of beer at the same time. So win-win. They had 15 beers.
They had
4 ciders and gins, you name it. And
so it was more of an alcohol festival.
It was more, but yeah, it was basically come to Campbell and get pissed.
It seemed like it was meant to be kind of local music based, if you like. There was a lot of kind of, so to set the scene on the majority of clientele, it went for everything for kind of not quite students, because there must have been a student thing on that they were taking them away in buses for St Andrews, but people that live in St Andrews, younger people, old hippies, and other kind of, like, well, then there was the axe throwers, but the hippies, kind of folky type music people.
Mm-hmm.
Along with some families, and then roasters for elsewhere in Fife. That's the best way I can describe it, who took advantage of the nice day and made an appearance there to basically to try some of the beers and stuff that were going. Mm. And by try, I mean drink as much as they possibly could without paying too much attention to how it tasted or what indeed was on offer.
Yeah, so knowing, obviously, I've spoken to both of you very briefly before, and sensing any negative vibes so far about the weekend's experience. Let's hear the grievances. Get yourself warmed up, because I know there's a few.
Well,
so let's just start for the very, very start. So how much was it to get in the door?
Well, it was the tickets we paid were $12.50 or something like that, weren't they? Plus a booking fee or a quid or something like that. So it was like £13, £15 on the door. So it definitely made all the difference to buy online before you went, because they definitely limited the amount of tickets available to ensure that there was plenty of produce there to go around about everybody. They definitely didn't just see it was a nice day and get as many folk in the door as possible at £15 a head for nothing. Then there was the organisation right at the beginning, so I'll let the big man take over with his description of how he got on. Now, this might have been a slight pick-up for the fact that we were staying in the house, so we were wandering about as guests as well as festival goers, but the big man had a bit of inexperience right at the very beginning.
Put it this way, right, we were in the house, it was roasting, and we were choking on a beer. Simple. So we come down in the courtyard where they were holding the main part, and they've got the bar and everything out the back. So me, Graham, standing in this queue, and I'm saying, it's an awful, like, the queue was massive. It must have been about 25 deep, give or take. And I'm thinking, we've not got a glass. Everybody's got a glass. We'll get one at the bar and that. Fair enough. And I seen folks standing with, like, wee tickets. I was like, I'm going to have to get some tickets before we get to the bar. So take a wee lap round. Right, so tickets. So £20 worth of tickets. It was like 10 tickets or so, give or take. So standing back in the queue again. So took us, I don't know, a good 10 minutes. But you know what it's like when it's roasting and you're choking for a pint. 10 minutes is pretty much like 3 hours desert time, like walking, you know, like gasping. So get to the queue, and the first thing the lassie says to us is, where's your glass? I says, you've not given me one yet. Oh, no, you need to get your glass when you sign in, like when you like register, like when you sign in. And I says, well, we're guests, so we've literally just walked straight in. Oh, we can't serve you without a glass. I says, well, no shit, Sherlock, but like, can you just give me a glass? No. So I look round and the queue's still 20 odd deep, but I'm thinking, so out we go and get to the front door, and the guy's like, I says, oh, we're just here, we're staying, we've got tickets. Can you show me your tickets? I'm saying, nah, the fiance's got them, she's up the stair. And you kind of get in without your tickets. So I'm like, so out I go, try phone lens, she's no answer on that. So finally get her, and Graham runs up the stair, and then she sends me the tickets. Boop, 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 boop. Perfect. So I showed the guy a ticket like this. It's not got the QR code on it, mate. I says, but you can see it's like the whole ticket. The QR code's obviously underneath. She screenshotted it rather than seeing it. I can't get what you in. So I was like, well, you can obviously let me in. I just kind of get this one glass, as in, like,
which
just a pint glass.
Which is sitting probably right beside them.
Right. Oh, definitely.
So this goes back and forth. So another good 5-10 minutes. So again, probably 3.5 hours drinking, like desert walking time now. Steam's coming out my ears. Absolute gasping for a pint. And finally, the other part of the message that Lynn sent comes through, because the signal isn't obviously overly strong. So out it comes, and I'm like, right. So serve, walk back in, queue.
Get a glass of double.
Queue must be about 15 deep this time. So walk to the front of the queue, and the woman that was there, who says, just come back and I'll pour you as a pint, wasn't on the bar anymore. Right? No, back to the queue. So back to this fucking queue we came. And then finally got our pints. And
did you have a full selection available?
Was at this moment in time, okay? Now, me and Graham were first in the door, and we had all 13 beers or 15 beers, whatever it was, to choose from. So thinking, it's 4 o'clock-ish, we're going to have a good couple of hours of drinking. I was like, there's quite a few breweries in there that we recognise, so we're going to at least get plenty to try. And top of the list was an IPA. You know, I'm a bit of a sucker for an IPA. It was a wee 4.5% number, give or take. And I was thinking, perfect. I'm just going to start at the top of the list. I'm going to work my way down. Simple. So we come in and net first pint doesn't even touch the sides. Basically, join the queue again to get our second pint, right, and come back.
So
in.
There was only one bar.
There's one bar. It's like a big bar, but they had like they only had like between two or three folk on at any time. I would have said, and you're going to find this. This is going to be a bit the standard to it. I don't think they understood that people were coming to drink beer at the beer festival. That's honestly the impression you got with, because like, as this story, as you find, will kind of mature a little bit here, is the fact that you were standing in queues for like quite a while to get a pint. But I'll just lead that on. So we got our second pint, so I went number two in the list. Graham picked whatever heck he wanted. Miguel came in after, obviously he had tickets, so he managed to fill in. And
you got in all right, girl, aye?
Aye, because we came out the front door, because I wasn't staying in one. I wasn't on first name terms with the boy that owns the house, so I was just a guest. So we came out like proper people and came in. I had my Jader's phone there with the QR codes and everything on it. Showed them wristband, pint tumbler, tokens, or I stood in the queue. Jade realised about the tokens, tokened, went to the bar, and I noticed purely in front of me that the aforementioned roasters were available. Were basically heavily represented within the queue that I was standing in at the time, and I thought Jade then showed me she had picked up or had been given a menu of all the different beers that were on, and there was a... I started looking for what is the strongest they've got, and there was a 6.3% Bramble, is that right?
Saison. That's the one.
From St Andrews.
St Andrews Brewing, indeed.
And I noticed that was the highest percentage they had. So I picked that up and was noting that was the one I wanted. Straight to the bar, ordered it. I must have had the last pint available of this stuff, and it started for there. So we had that pint, and then we went back to get another one, and I decided before I stood in the queue again, I was like, I want to get some of my own tickets, just in case I'm there at a queue or whatever. I didn't want to be caught short with just one set, and I'll buy my own. So I bought 20 quid worth of tickets, and just right there, voice came over the radio. Now, this must have been 5 o'clock, if you're lucky.
So just so everyone knows, it started at 2 o'clock. So
started at 2, running until 8.
So we're now at 5.
Yeah, we're at 5. I'm just stood at the till, handed my money over, and over the radio, which everybody had, all the people that were working there anyway, had these radios on, over the radio, loud and clear, we're running out of beer. So by the time we got back into the queue, numbers 9 and 10, and what was that, 13? Was the one I had?
Mandarina Summit. No, we both had a pint of that.
9, 10, what was it?
They were the first two that gone. The two St Andrews Brewing were the first to go.
And then it followed from there. And it got to the point whereby there was mere stickers on the... There was a chalkboard, which I think you posted online, Mark, that was more white bits by the end than there were available options very, very quickly, by maybe 6, 6:30.
Aye, easy.
And there were still folk coming through the door?
Still people coming in. The people who were still there were still going back up to the bar. The queues got even longer.
Because it was taking them about 5 minutes to pour. It was the old, beer. So it wasn't like a pump or anything. I mean, it was literally like turning the valve to let the less it's in the cast, the slower this drip is. And you see these, I don't know, how one of the lasses didn't fall, because they had them all stacked up and they were standing on like wee buckets and everything, trying to hold these wee casts up to shake beer and everything at them. And
the quality of the beer diminished pretty quickly as well.
Oh, big time.
I mean, in terms of the what was in the cast, because obviously they were draining every last second of it, and it was a warm day. They weren't any conditioned or anything, so I understand that it was ale rather than the craft beer, if you like. Yeah. So it wasn't like a chilled. There was no chilling or anything involved, pretty much, right? So, however, normally in the past where I've seen it, where it's been a good day like that and they're serving beer like that outside, they have it's almost like a wee jacket they put around the cask that then keeps it somewhat cool.
The same ideas when the Formula One, they put the jackets on the wheels and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it was meant to, obviously it's meant to kind of keep them at the direct sunlight. But the stuff we were having by the end, honestly, I don't know whether, and I wouldn't like, I mean, I'm no, based on all the other things that went wrong, I'm not going to hold it to, other than one particular brewery, which I'll mention in a second, I'm not going to hold it too much against the people that had made the beer, because I don't think they knew too much about how it was being served. And when it was being served and in what capacity, and I don't think they would be too chuffed if their brewery got tagged away, or that basically they wouldn't have liked their beer to be served in that manner, if that makes sense. So, however, so they ran out, and it basically the long and short of it was that by the end of the day, they were serving, had scrambled. Maybe somebody had been sent to, I don't know whether somebody had been sent to St. Andrews or something like that, but they were basically serving pint cans of Tennent's and Peroni and Stella at massively discounted rates. So one token for two cans or two.
They weren't doing that originally. I think that one guy that we spoke to just managed to grab two because they were feeling a bit bad for folk. Granton, when he done it, he went up and he was only getting a bottle of Budweiser or whatever the heck it was for a token. And just like, hold on, like.
And they ran out of the gin and stuff as well pretty quick. It was they'd said to everybody that was coming to, that was working there, to nick to the Tesco and buy one bottle of gin each, and that was it. It wasn't a proper bar setup, put it that way. It was very much a community-run event, which I could have understood if they had put it on and hadn't charged you anything to get in. The fact that they charged you £12 a ticket makes you think that they've got extra put aside.
And
regardless of how good, and there was some plus points, like the axe throwing, the music wasn't too terrible, although I didn't listen to a lot of it. It wasn't £12 worth the entertainment that was on.
If you're trying to get through the door, you expect the full array is available to you in the menu to at least be available until the end.
And if we hadn't been staying, there wouldn't have been, like, the gardens or whatever it was wouldn't have been open to us if we were just going to the festival. There was no transport or shuttle service to get you down into St. Andrews afterwards or anything like that. It was all taxis. They had bouncers there because you need bouncers at a family-run event. And more folk taking tickets than they knew what to do with. But
Can I bit off more than I could chew, probably, it sounds like.
Well, but this is the other annoying thing, is that they've had four of them or something.
Well, have they?
Aye. They've never run out of beer before, though. The guy said that. Like, well, we've never run out of beer before. And I was like, well, you've run out.
You have
pretty quickly. Yeah, but the thing for me is, if you run out of, like, see if there's, like, two really good beers and it gets tanned quick, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because everybody's like, oh, that's amazing. St. Andrews Brewery, that was the first two that went. So, funnily enough, they got nicked. But it was the fact that what did I say it was? 15 beers. The two that were sitting, the one that was definitely sitting was the Nanny State from BrewDog, because that's the alcohol-free stuff, or very limited alcohol-free. And even the Vagabond was the gluten-free number. That was tanned. And to be fair, there was a couple that were left at the end that we acquired in our travel takeaway cups.
That were...
I was like, we went up, I says, we've got these travel cups. The travel cups cost me £1 or something like that, right? And the girl behind the bar kindly filled them up for me, which I thought when she was filling us. So we've got two 2 2-litres of beer here. Or is it 2 pint tumblers? It wasn't 2 litres. Maybe 2 pints. Anyway, doesn't matter, because basically 98% of it went down the sink, right? But, and filled these things up and we're like, amazing, we'll take them back up to the rooms, we're staying the night, we'll get some food, we'll get a couple of beers. Perfect. And honestly, opened this carton of beer when we got up the stair, and it smelled like utter dishwater, like total.
That's the problem. That's the issue with the casks and stuff. It's like the way they're pouring them as well, like you said. It's that thing when even when you're at the pub and stuff, and you can kind of taste when you've kind of caught the end of the barrel.
Yeah.
But it's no awful. You can still drink it, and you think that it just there's just something a wee bit off it. But it sounds like aye.
It was a bit of a, you know, considering obviously we were up there for the festival, and obviously we were there. And don't get me wrong, we still had a really good time because we took plenty of booze with us, and we ended up having like our best beers once we got back up the stair.
But imagine you had, and we did have a good time, and it was good to see the place, and I think you're as a venue is going to be great because you're going to have Mary say or what's going to happen, and it's not going to be the people that did the festival. But imagine we had made that trip up just for that. I mean, imagine you'd seen that online on, I don't know whether they did anything on Groupon or whatever, but say you're there playing a couple of rounds of golf for the weekend and see that that's on. What kind of advert is that? If that's the only reason you're there, you've got to get, because it's not in the middle of, it's not like it's in the middle of St Andrews, so you've got to get a taxi there or transport there. You're expecting to be able to drink the whole day and drink good stuff, and then you've got to get a taxi back to wherever it is you're going. And it just doesn't make, it wasn't a good advertisement for either the house or the festival, or indeed the beers that were on.
Easily 80 quid, 100 quid.
If you knew that at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, St Andrews Brewery is in St Andrews, believe it or not, that's why it's called that. So he honestly tried to tell me, considering they showed up the next again day in a Land Rover, full of beer, they couldn't have nicked up with another couple of things. Like you just have bought them and said, no, bring them up, we're running out here, and have you got anything else? Anything and everything that you've got available, can we get it? Is it whether it's bottles or thingy or whatever? If you've not got it put by, we'll buy it off you, bring it up. Rather than going and getting somebody run to Tesco and buy pint cans of Tennent's.
Right. If you've got, like, even for me, who, you know me, I'm always a sucker for Tennent's. If you pay good 15, 12 quid to get in a beer festival, and then they end up giving you cans of Tennent's, you're like, hold on, like, yeah. I've paid whatever to get in, I've paid such and such for my tokens, and then you're offering me Tennent's. Even I would be very, very slightly annoyed that you've done this to me.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, I can go to Tesco and get a fucking grape for 10 quid.
Yeah, exactly. And we could, as I'm saying, we could have went down, it would have been cheaper for us to jump in a taxi down to the nearest Tesco or Aldi's and buy the crate ourselves and come back, probably.
And get back.
It would be.
But, so, overall, let's just have an overall, because I know it's fairly negative, but overall, your overall kind of feelings, a review of the Campbellicious.
Of the Campbellicious.
What will you be going next year?
No. I'd rather pay the money to go to one of the ones in Edinburgh that we went to by a long shot, because at least you get to keep the tumbler.
I don't know. I got a wee Campbellicious tumbler.
Aye, but you weren't meant to. You took that as compensation.
True.
What can I take as compensation?
That's what it was like.
There's the Edinburgh Craft Beer Festival is the end of May, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And then obviously you've got the Craft Beer Experience, which you guys went to last year near the end of the year. And whatever, because there's tons of breweries in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be some more kicking about, which kind of leads on fairly well-ish, unless you've got anything else to add up at the end of that.
You're going to shout out this horrendous brewery?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The horrendous brewery, go for it. I was meant for that.
So, Fallen Brewery. Now, I know that we've had stuff for them before that's available in Aldi, which hasn't been bad. Which is pretty drinkable at the cans. The offerings for Fallen at the thing, which were, you'll be able to remind me what they were called.
One, the Locomotive, 3.9% traditional British session beer. Turbocharged with Mosaic dry hops. Easy drinking, yet full of flavour. A session IPA. No.
Absolute bumwater.
Honestly. I can't remember the phrase.
Sheer bumwee. Just bumwee. It was absolutely horrific.
You know the thing that's even funnier about this? I've got a funny feeling we've had them as where the beer is born. I potentially they might have been the first ones.
Aye, and the stuff they had in Aldi wasn't bad. It was pretty drinkable. But the stuff that they gave us, they gave to the festival, either the Campbellicious guys didn't do a great job at looking after it, or it had been lying for a while, or it's just horrific.
I've noted one here for the Locomotive, because obviously I don't know if I had that one or not, but...
Was that three?
No, that was... they were a bit down the bottom. I remember three was the stuff that we took up the stairs. That was stuff that
was... three? Like, what was that?
Go through the whole list. Giza gander the whole list.
Right. So, number one was Topaz IPA from Inner Bay Brewery, Session IPA, notes of exotic mango, passion fruit. Was actually quite nice, straight up, fair enough. It was probably the best beer that I had at the whole thing, and it was the first one that I had, so that says a lot. Number two for them was one called Citrine. It was a 5% number. It was a golden ale, kind of citrusy. Again, there wasn't too much of it, but being an ale and that, it was like, because it was warm, it was like really easy to drink. Fair enough. Law Brewing, the All Nighter, 4.5%. This is the one we had. A refreshing golden beer with a heavy beat of tropical citrus notes and a fast tempo of marmalade.
And what did Wendoline. That
actually... I'm sure the words I used were piss out of Gypsy's nipple. Like, horrendous.
Mr. Muscle.
absolutely horrendous.
Honestly.
The other one that they had was called All Dare. 3.8%. Supposed to be a floor-filling session pale ale with the upbeat rhythms of American hops for full drinkability and danceability.
What the fuck is that about? Fucking dance it? Fuck off.
The only thing this done was danced in the sink, mate. It was horrendous.
It's called the All Day because it should stay in the cask all day.
I'm trying to see if I scored Cut that rot. One.
Zero.
Oh.
If you had any sense. 0.25.
There you go. All Nighter. I gave it a 0.5 because I was being nice at that point. My untapped reference was utter pishwater. This didn't only taste wrong, it smelled like old socks.
Nice.
So they two were horrendous.
From anyway, what are they? Sorry, so just to make sure I can avoid them again.
Law Brewing.
Roger.
Then we went to Beath Brewing. Always Believe Golden Ale, an easy drinking golden ale. If I remember correctly, this one smelled what? No, this is the one that tasted better than it smelled, is the easiest way. It was the description here is an easy drinking golden ale. And
got to stay away from the easy drinking golden ales, because that's two that's been described like that, and the two of them were utter gas.
This one I remember, it smelled horrendous. Both of these ones did.
The, was that the darker of the two?
No, the darker one was the Pale Shelter V5 number. Pale.
It's coming.
Fruity aromas with a malty base.
Malty.
No. Then we went to Oven Stone 109, East Newt Craft Brewing, one called Fife, 4% number, refreshing drinkable beer, citrus notes, nothing too like interesting about it, to be fair. You had the Terra Nova, that was the darker one that Jade got you.
Mm-hmm.
Session ale that was lightly bittered and hop to give it good hop. Awesome notes here. Malt and fruit notes.
Okay, now you didn't tell us you helped a boy write the menu.
I did.
No, even you couldn't have come up with that. Honestly, it was absolutely horrific.
Right. Anyway, then there was the two St. Andrews ones, which Miguel can at least comment on one, but we don't have any. The Yippie IPA was the one that we missed out on there. So,
which right. I think I've had in bottle.
Yeah,
I think it was okay.
Right, and then we went to Fallen. Now, like you say, we've had Fallen before, and
I think it's pronounced Fallen, but whatever.
Oh, they're falling down the fucking radar.
Estimations.
Absolute horrendous. So this Locomotive, 3.9% number, rotten. New World Odyssey was the second one they had on there. The mighty score of 0.25 on the thing. Now, can I just say that an average score on Untappd of 3.5% for this number.
So that probably suggests then that it's potentially them not coding it right or serving it correctly. But
how it's served rather than... Yeah, no, I totally...
It still tastes like pish, so it tastes like pish.
No, this is the one. Brewed with classic Pilsner ingredients. This is an ale for lager lovers or a lager for ale lovers. Smooth and pale with a fruity aroma and slightly spicy citrus flavours.
So that, like...
So what is that? That's code for Disney Ken what the fuck it wants to be.
No idea.
Aye, but off those notes, I'd be like, I might be like that.
Nah, you were wrong. But again.
I'd be wrong.
And it might have been that was a late doors for us on that. When we had maybe had a couple of poor experiences that we've had, but would I go rushing back for either of those beers? Definitely not.
Overall, not great then.
Nah, the best thing about the whole thing was obviously for me getting to stay in the house and have a drink in the house, that kind of thing. The axe throwing was up there. We had a real good laugh with the boys that done that. The toothless, like, bearded chap was like an absolute wizard and totally ripped the piss at me for like a good 45 minutes straight. So that was ideal.
That's easy.
It was when you see my throne, like, to be fair. But I was actually pretty good day two event, but anyways.
Day
we were there for beer.
What the event?
What was that?
No, they were there for the Wedfest the next day. Okay. They came back the second day because apparently they must have been testing it out because they were having a competition there this weekend, right?
Mm.
There was an open competition there this weekend.
Fair play. Well, if you're interested in getting yourself a free beer this weekend and you're in the west end of Glasgow or you're in Lothian Road in Edinburgh, head over to Innes and Gunn, one of their tap rooms, and claim yourself a free beer. The original, you can get yourself one of them. And why can you get yourself free one of them? It's because if you've seen the new Avengers film, the King of Asgard, Thor himself, has in one scene is enjoying a refreshing innocent gun, apparently.
I've seen it. I didn't see the innocent gun.
Yeah, apparently so. I've not seen it yet. I'm seeing it this weekend. So don't fucking spoil it. So all you have to do to get yourself...
Everybody dies.
Yeah, probably. Everyone dies in Game of Thrones, who gives a shit? So, to get yourself a free beer from Innocent Gun, all you have to do is head into one of the tap rooms and ask for, on arrival, all you have to say is, I want a beer of Kings. And they'll give you, right, that's what you have to say, and they'll give you a free beer. Beer of Kings.
Not, let me get this straight. So, no, the King of Beers.
Beer of Kings.
Right, okay.
The words have to be beer of Kings.
If you ask for the King of Beers, you'll get a Budweiser.
Aye. You'll get a Bud. So if you say beer of Kings, that's what you want, they should give you a free beer. And if you dress up as Thor, you probably don't have to say it. You could probably walk in and get a free one anyway.
So at the beer kitchen?
Aye.
In Edinburgh, then.
You can go to Edinburgh and Lothian Road. The one in Glasgow that's opening up this weekend as well. And they've got one in Dundee, I think, as well.
Pointless. Dundee can afford anything.
So you can head over to one of the tap rooms and grab yourself a free Innocent Gun beer. Now, something today I seen on the interweb, which tickled my pickle, from one of my personal favourite beers, and probably not one of yours, but I don't give a shit. Tenants are doing some serious trolling. So, Tenants HQ in Glasgow. Across the road there's a billboard. On that billboard, Carlsberg have put themselves up a wee advertisement, which they've put everywhere. And you said it before when we spoke, Miguel, that you've seen it in Edinburgh. So this Carlsberg billboard says, New Carlsberg Danish Pilsner, rebrewed from head to hop. Now, they've put this across the road from Tenants, and Tenants, being the fantastic trolls that they are, have responded on the side of their building. So on their billboard they put, Tenants, Scotland's favourite beer, only ever brewed here. And they put a massive arrow pointing at the other billboard, and it says Danish Pilsner, probably brewed in Northampton. Which we all know is probably very, very true, because I don't get Tenants down here where I am. I drink Foster's, and we all know Foster's is brewed in Edinburgh. So it wouldn't even bloody surprise me. So Tenants are on the serious troll game, and I can't even wait to get my hands on one just for a laugh.
To be fair, I think that's like genius. Tenants have been quite good for stuff like that in the past, though, haven't they? Like throwing up funky billboards and that, making kind of jibs. It's like the old Paddy Power, like sort of commercials, sort of thing, the adverts and that.
That and Iron Brew as well were quite good at them a few years back. In fact, even now, the adverts are quite funny. Having digs at people. So I'll put the picture of the billboard up on our Twitter and stuff, so you can have a look at it. Have a wee gander. But Carlsberg put a billboard across from Tenants, and Tenants quite swiftly took the piss out of it. Fair play, well done.
Excellent.
Didn't blame you. Beers of the week. Have you just seen it?
I've just pulled another one up. There's a big sign next to Ladbrokes in Glasgow. They've got this huge big billboard next to it, right? And the big arrow, it's like a huge big pint of Tenants. And then the big arrow pointing next to Ladbrokes, and it says, free pens. And then underneath it says, Tenants served here, like in really small writing next to it.
Like whoever's head advertising at Tenants, just
absolute lad.
Market, just give them an up, give them a raise.
I know.
Give them a raise straight away. Beers of the week. You gentlemen have had yourself a fine selection. I've heard already at the Campbellicious Beer Festival. Is there any of them you're going to pick for your beer of the week?
Absolutely not.
Like I said, I think we both kind of agreed before that we definitely had the best beers of the day once the beer festival was finished, or once we vacated the bar area and went back up to the end of the house and that. So,
yeah. Well, just before we read them out, I must shout out to the shop in Edinburgh where I get the where I got the beers for. So I picked these up knowing that we were going up there, and I thought I'll bring some extras that we maybe hadn't tried before. So there's a shop in Edinburgh called The Great Grog.
All right.
I might have mentioned before. And they do wines mainly, but they've got a whole kind of wall devoted to beer from all over the place, and they get quite a lot of kind of imported American stuff and Belgian and quite a few different craft beers, as well as your Scottish stuff and local Edinburgh beers as well. So they have these baskets, and inside the baskets they do four packs.
All right.
And the four packs are by different breweries, and they're all different prices, but they tend to do a bit of a discount on these kind of wee mix and match numbers. So you pick one up and go pay for it. So I picked up one that had, it was all Tiny Rebel stuff. So it had on it a kind of other signature stuff. It had a Club Tropicana, which I'd mentioned before. It had a Dirty, which is a Vermont IPA. It had a Mango Milkshake IPA, and also one called Jam Donut. Now, when I bought it, the guy's tasting notes that he gave me were that it tastes the jam donut anyway. He said the rest of them are pretty good. He says, but the jam donut tastes like a jam donut. He says, there isn't any. He says, I can't tell you. Like, it's fruity. He says, it's basically a Sainsbury's raspberry jam donut. He says, that's it. He says, it tastes exactly like it. He says, imagine that mixed with a beer. He says, and that's what you've got. So I took them up with us anyway, and we were a bit disillusioned with the beer that we had got at the festival kind of thing. I said, right, okay, let's go up there and we'll try them. So it was the three of us, and we tried the four between us and then kept one, as well as having four punk IPAs. So I think both our beers of the week are going to come for that group of four. Yeah. Mine is the, and I'll look it up to make sure I'm not doing it a disservice. It was between the jam donut and this, but I think the jam donut is for people with an acquired taste, if I'm being totally honest, because it does taste exactly as the guy described it. It does taste like a jam donut. Mine is the Mango Milkshake IPA from Tiny Rebel, and in terms of tasting notes, things like that, it's got a average rating of 3.8 on Untappd. And it's pretty much described as exactly as it is. It's kind of, when I was drinking it, I described it as tasting pretty creamy, if that makes sense. I know it doesn't make much, like, how can a beer be creamy, but that's honestly what it tasted like.
I know what you mean.
It was, it definitely had a bit more substance to it, like a bit, it wasn't thicker, but it felt like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it definitely tasted kind of fruitier, but quite subtle because of that kind of creaminess. It wasn't like sour or anything. It was still sweet. Pretty easy to drink. Don't know if I could drink a lot of it. My favourite by far out of the four that we had was definitely the Club Tropicana, but I've mentioned that as being a beer of the week before, so I went for something new. It was good.
Very good.
Should try it. It's definitely, don't get put off by the milkshake thing, because that's what had been putting me off, and it's putting me off some of the other stuff that's branded milkshake for Tesco. Because of that, the creaminess was off.
That one, I got the Tiny Rebel one from Beam and Howe. It said milkshake on it, and I was like, oh no, I'm not going to like that. And I tried it, and I was like, that's all right, actually. Could I drink it all night? Probably not, but I could enjoy one stubby of them.
That's it. For me, I'm jumping on the Tiny Rebel bandwagon too. It was the Dotty, as I mentioned, for me. It's the Vermont IPA. That's like, basically, is the perfect beer for me. Like, just like hoppy, kind of a wee bit bitter, but you're still getting like that kind of tropical, fruity sort of taste coming through it. Like, I started off with a jam donut, didn't I? And
yeah.
Had a good couple of mouthfuls of that, but that was like so sweet.
It's just like super, super sweet.
It's honestly like the inside of the like jam donuts you get. I can't even, you know, I remember Scott used to do the, what were the shots that Scott used to do for us in there?
They were jam donuts.
They were jam donuts.
Jam donuts. I know the one you're talking about.
That was it in a tin.
Fair enough. Well, like Scott said, they were bought from the Great Grog Bottle Shop in Dalkeith Road in Edinburgh. And you can check them out, greatgrogshop.co.uk, if you want to see what they've got in their wee shop in Dalkeith Road and check out what they've got going on. For me, myself, I've not had anything magical over the weekend. However, I will choose Longman Brewery's Long Blonde Pale Ale, Golden Ale, which is a very crisp, clean bitterness. Smooth, light and refreshing. I've gave it a 3.75 on Untapped. Fairly easy drinker, nothing too severe. And yes, if you're not overly keen on your craft beers, that will go down quite nicely. And it's an East Sussex number. The brewery is about 20 minutes away from me.
Where'd you hear that about?
That was it. That Bexhill, that Galen Arty beer festival. Last week I said I was going to put up the interviews and stuff that I did. However, so after we did the podcast last week, I just to make sure, I just listened to them, and I'll try and put them up in this. From my first interview to maybe like the third, maybe fourth, you can just hear I just get more and more pissed. the first one, to like the third one, and then the fourth one, it's more, the words get more slurred, there's more swearing, and then it just gets most and I'm like, actually, maybe no, put that up just yet. So I'll try and piece them all together, edit out bits and put stuff.
You know, a bleeper. Swear bleep.
Beep. It would just be a beep all the way through. It would just be a constant.
To be honest, like I can only partly recall some of the conversations we had at the Edinburgh one with folk, and I can only imagine, to be honest.
No, yeah, but the ones from the craft beer experience were fine. There was not as much swearing as I know I am capable of when I've had a few cans in me. Every third or fourth word is fuck, bugger, shit. If not worse. And I was just like, maybe I'll just hold that one back. So I'll try and piece something together from what we took. Because there was some good conversations when other people were talking, just not me. To be honest. So we'll try and add that on the one. So yes, that's our beers of the week. This week the PFA Awards happened, and your winners, your Player of the Year was Virgil van Dijk, and your Young Player of the Year was Raheem Sterling. Any grievances with either of those two picks?
No, I don't think so. I think that it says a lot for Virgil van Dijk that a defender won it, because I don't think that happens very often.
No.
Guy deserves it. He strolled just like he has done. I mean, we watched him obviously earlier in his career when he played for Celtic pretty closely.
Yeah.
Being pretty upset at the fact that they had scored such an excellent player, and he strolls. It's like he walked his way through games in the SPL and has done it again this year. And it just shows how good a player he is, and he just strolls through games. Doesn't he ever tend to get flustered? Always comes up trumps and is therefore deserved. I think he's been the biggest difference. If you look at additions to a team, I know that Liverpool had struggled with the goalkeeping position, but if you look at the results across the board, he's a massive part of that. It makes everybody that they've got in front of him a lot freer today, but they express themselves the way that they should be able to in order to play, and he saves them a lot.
Players like Andy Robertson, Alex Arnold, whatever his name is, Alexander Arnold, Trent Alexander, that's one, Trent Alexander Arnold. Those two wing backs, I don't think they'd have the type of season they've had without him in the middle.
So we did that
a couple, however many episodes back, top 10 players in the Premier League. I had them in my top 10 list. And I don't think you could really pick anybody else, to be fair.
Yeah, I think Stirling probably deserves a shout. I think he's maybe been hot or cold, and he's either been on fire or he's been like good, if you know what I mean. Whereas Virgil's just been excellent like the whole year. But I would give him at least, you know, I'll give him an honourable mention, if that's the best way to put it.
Obviously, because he won Young Player of the Year. So let's just say, whatever age, I don't even know what age he is. Say he was the same age as Van Dijk. Okay, they're both even in age. Would there be a more... Would it be harder to pick between the two?
Nah, because you could win both technically if you were... If Sterling was... I think if Sterling was as good as... Like his peak. If he had been at his peak... Like the whole season, then I think he could have won both awards. Aye. But like I'm saying, I think Van Dijk's just been Mr. Consistent. But nah, no grievances, I suppose. It's one of these hard ones because obviously it's a team sport, but you're picking the best. Is it the best player? Is it the player that makes the biggest impact? Is it, you know, like, because is he Liverpool's best player?
It's probably a combination, I think. It's probably a combination of, because you hear this in sports, the best ability is availability. So it's probably a combination of being available, being available, but being as good as he is. That's my finger. Because if he gets injured or has loads of injuries during the season, then he probably didn't get it, and it's maybe Sterling that gets it. So, with how consistent he's been and how available he's been for the team, I think you have to. I think he's an easy, or at least a lock.
No, choice. I totally agree. As I say, I think I'm just playing devil's advocate a wee bit. I think it's really difficult. I'm just seeing. Having a quick look there to see if there's anybody else that kind of jumps out to me. I think Sterling was the easy one.
Well, if you go through the PFA's team of the year, PFA's team of the year consists of the keeper, Ederson, back four of Robertson, Laporte, Van Dijk, Trent Alexander-Arnold. He has to get a shorter name, by the way. In the midfield, you've got Pogba, Bernardo Silva, Fernandinho, Sterling, Aguero, Mane. The only thing I have an issue with in that team, and I've seen you shaking your head there, is Pogba.
That's wild.
I would rather have Hazard than Pogba. And yeah. I think Hazard's got a better and should be in that team rather than Pogba.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a wee bit surprised, not because he's not good, but Bernardo Silva. Just because of he has been in and out of the team with like some injuries and that, but again, like when he's in the team, he is obviously very good. But he's a very good in a high functioning midfield for City. You know what I mean? It's quite
he's
difficult.
Good both to, ways.
It's hard to differentiate them. You know, if you're talking about Bernardo Silva, Fernandinho, De Bruyne, David Silva, like you know, what I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in there. And you have both of them, and I suppose that's how good City have been. But I agree with you. Like Hazard for Pogba would be the easy kind of like natural switch. Pogba has had, like I mentioned with Sterling, flashes of genius, brilliant. You know what I mean? And then he's been meh.
But it's just even that thing, like I said, with Van Dijk just being available, like. And like Pogba at the start of the season under Mourinho was shit. We can all say he was shit, and that was probably because of the system he was in. And the start of the season, I believe Hazard missed maybe the first two or three games just due to fitness. But it was when he came on a couple of times even as a sub, but he was still impactful. And then I don't see why Pogba's in the team. Yeah. In that team of the year, I don't think he should be. It should be Hazard. He is. If Hazard isn't in that Chelsea team, Chelsea are fucked.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Doesn't make any sense.
Big time.
He didn't do anything to warrant it, did he?
Not at all. Like, Paul, if you take Paul Bett Manu, like, yes, it's an impact, but it's not as big an impact on the team than Hazard being out of Chelsea.
And the thing is that I rate Pogba really highly. I think he's world class when he's at his best.
I
agree. The other one, just for Ederson and goal's been good. I think Alisson probably deserves a shout as well, considering how good he's been. But not that I'm getting it, it's just picking Alisson's conceded two fewer goals than him, like, if that's anything to do with it. But, like,
probably is, though.
Yeah, and that's it. Laporte's been awesome for City, so fair enough.
One other grievance, but I can't think of anybody else to really replace them, is the one with the stupidly two surnames, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Like, he's good. He's been quality. He's been good. I'm just like, really? Like, it's when we did our top 10 players, when I mentioned Andy Robertson in my top 10, it was like, and you just gave me shit for that. And
because he's English, Gav. That's Trent Alexander-Arnold's thing. They always have a higher.
They have a higher value.
Constantly.
True.
That's why you get a lot of younger players like that lad. If he, is it a lad that plays for Celtic? Has declared to sell for England. Because it's a money-making opportunity. That looks far better on a come-and-get-me sheet or CV, if you like, than being capped for Scotland. Christ.
Well, fuck, would you know, rather?
The big man's been capped for Scotland. Fair enough, at a different sport. But that shows you how they are kind of struggling a bit.
The better,
for participants.
Participants.
In the Scotland Select 11.
But aye, that's the team of the year. That's the PFA Awards announced this week. In terms of that, I have nothing else written down. Unless you guys have anything else you want to add or talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Nothing that jumps out. Say, beer do a wee bit for the beer. The weekend, but
I promise I will get that pack that I promised to go through in the fridge.
Oh, here, it's... don't worry, here, I promised to start my fucking homebrew kit about fucking 5 weeks ago, still no touched it.
Come on, get it brewed for next and for 2 weeks time.
I need 16 days. And by the fact I'm flying up.
Well, bring it up and leave it with us.
I think I'm gonna walk through an airport with a bucket.
You don't need to send us a bucket, just use the powder.
That's gonna be good going through security, innit? What's this powder, sir? I just grab that, you know, it's not the best.
I'm going to a stag weekend.
It's my hops, pal. I'm away from a stag weekend, it's my hops.
Oh, the best, mate, just fire that, you'd be.
Wouldn't it be the first time you've been caught with suspect items in your bags?
To me?
Just generally.
I haven't been going in my bag. Who are you talking to?
Pretty much. I'm pretty positive there was socks in your basketball bag that used to carry your bag for you.
Oh, that was... Oh, yeah, aye, fuck.
At one time or another.
They're still there, probably. Even he had catnip in his fucking bag.
Not catnip.
I understood the fact of how stinky my shoes were, to be fair, so I was trying my
damnedest. He was doing us all a favour.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Well, as always, Beer Fridge Podcast brought to you by the Beer Fridge Network. Head over to the beerfridgenetwork.com for everything Beer Fridge, from the Beer Fridge Podcast to the Beer Fridge Fitness. And brought to you in partnership by Beer Manow, beermanow.co.uk, the ultimate beer subscription service. Get a monthly, bi-monthly, or a quarterly beer subscription service. The boys will handpick 8 handpicked beers for you, and they'll send you a snackaroo as well, and some stickers and bits and bobs. And if you like a gluten-free option, head over there as well, and they can have 8 gluten-free beers, a gluten-free snackaroo sent to you. Head over to beermanout.co.uk to grab yourself one of them. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Beerfridge Podcast, Beerfridge Network. Head over to beerfridgenetwork.com. There's a link at the very top of that page for Patreon. Head over to Patreon and you can help support the podcast that's been updated this week. You can show your support for the podcast by a little donation to help us make the podcast and make some better content for you. And I would say there's benefits and stuff. The only benefit is you get to hear us make better podcasts. What fucking better benefit do you want?
That's
priceless.
Absolute priceless. So, episode 52 of the Beer Fridge Podcast is a wrap. And until next time, goodbye.
See ya.